Good morning and Paskapis. Paskapis. It's Resurrection Sunday. He is risen. He's risen indeed. He's risen from the grave. This day changes everything. And of course, it's not this day. It's not March the 31st. It's not even this kind of week that we celebrate in the calendar. It's described as Holy Week. Actually, through Christ, every day is holy. Through Christ, every day is a resurrection day. Through Christ, every day is a day to remember the price that he paid on the cross. Through him, every day is a day to remember that he became one of us, that he humbled himself. He became a child, a baby, and was born. And that what we look at these different aspects on different days in the calendar, but it's all part of one story. And that's the story of Jesus Christ. And this morning, this is not going to be a sermon, so don't panic. There's going to be a few little points that I'll make along the way. But we have got a resurrection quiz. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at the story. We're going to look at the events of the last... I can see some frowns and some groans already at my wordplay. I do apologize. I don't know if it's got anything to do with these things in here. Don't know what I'm going to do with these later. Let me just say that on Mothering Sunday, we celebrate all females over the age of 18. On Father's Day, we celebrate all males over the age of 18. And on those days, you have a treat. Who might we be wanting to celebrate this morning? Anyway, so we've got a resurrection quiz, and we're going to have a little bit of fun. We're going to split the room up, and I know there's probably a few more down the middle, but we're going to split the room according to the columns that you're in, and we are going to have some questions to answer, and we're going to experiment with different ways of answering each of the different questions as well. So I couldn't decide on a good way to you know, get the answers off you, so we'll try different things. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at each question, and then we'll answer the question, and we'll look at a Bible verse that applies to that question and just understand a little bit of something about what that might mean for us. Does that sound good for you this morning? Are you ready to answer some questions? Are you all super brainy people? No, not all of us, but that's okay. It's really fine. Okay, so for the first question, I'm going to head over to this side. Ooh, okay. And Daniel, I'm going to ask you to be the scorekeeper for your team. Anybody called Daniel, but Dan Lux, I'm going to ask you to be the scorekeeper for your team to make sure that we keep an accurate score of the questions that we get right. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful for everybody. I'm hopeful for every question this morning. I'm hopeful that we're going to get these all right across the board. Okay. So question, let me try the... This is the big moment of truth, Martin. Is it going to work? No. Hang on. Yes, it works. Woo! Okay, right. Wait a minute. Wait a minute now. So for this first round of questions, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask for hands up, and I'm going to choose somebody to answer the question within your section. So are you ready on this side to answer the question, what Jewish festival was being celebrated during the week that Jesus was crucified? Was it Passover, was it Tabernacles, or was it Communion? Hands up, please. Go on then, Drew. Passover. It was Passover! Yay! Well done. Question correct. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" And if you understood what the Passover was the time when the people of Israel celebrated the fact that they were set free from slavery and from being held captive in Egypt. And in order to be set free, the last of the plagues which came upon the people of Egypt was the plague of the firstborn. And the people of Israel were to paint the blood of a lamb onto the doorposts of their house so that plague would pass over them. And by doing so, they were delivered and they were set free. And God gave them the instruction to celebrate this Passover every year. And we know that Jesus became the perfect Passover lamb for all of us. No longer do we need to make the sacrifices because he's made the sacrifice once and for all. And he didn't. The disciples didn't understand that at that point, but now we live our lives in response to that. Amen? Okay, right, we're going to come to the middle section. Are you ready? Yes. Oh, okay. Not very ready, middle section. Coming to the middle section, are you ready? Yes. Okay. What did the crowd wave in the air on the Sunday before the resurrection? Was it psalm pages? Was it sycamore branches? Or was it palm branches? The first hand was at the back, Ella. Palm branches! The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and they went out to meet him, shouting, and we're not going to shout that because we're going to be coming onto that shortly. But they took these palm branches. They were a sign of celebration for the people of Israel. They had been a sign of celebration from festivals in the past. And when they were celebrating and when they were acclaiming the king, they raised their palm branches in the air and they waved them around. And that's what we call in our calendar. It gets called Palm Sunday, the week before, the Sunday before Resurrection Sunday. Okay, coming over to this side. When he's ready. Is anybody else ready over here?
Yeah.
Okay, there's about four of you. Is anybody else ready over here?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to start waving cream eggs in the air again. Is anyone else? Yeah, okay, there we go. What is the original meaning of the word Hosanna? Does it mean save? Does it mean praise the Lord? Or does it mean sock of Anna? Okay, now let's be careful that we get this one right, okay? Does it mean save? Does it mean praise the Lord? Does it mean something like that? Go on then. Try again. Save, yes! That was a good save, good save. Well done. It means save. But the thing is, we say it now. Let me explain. We say it now like it means praise the Lord, because for the people of Israel, it came to mean something like that. Because what happened was, when God set them free, they began to celebrate and they were shouting, save! We're saved! The God has saved us. And so it became like a shout of praise. So you're kind of right as well. Both answers were, it was almost a trick question. So well done. It's all good. Says they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. And we acclaim him the King of Kings, and we celebrate him as the King of Kings. Amen? And we welcome him. We want to welcome him into our lives. We want to welcome him into our families. We want to welcome him into our church life. And we celebrate Jesus as the King of Kings today. Hosanna, shall we shout Hosanna? Hosanna! Okay, we're back over to this side. Are you ready? I'm not worried about the score counting because we're doing all right. We're going to be fine. What animal did Jesus ride into Jerusalem during what is known as his triumphal entry? Was it a young horse? Was it a young donkey? Or was it a young camel? Right, and in order to answer this question, I'm going to ask everybody to shout out their answer. And I'm going to decide which answer was shouted out the loudest. Okay, so I would like, on the count of three, you all to answer a young horse, a young donkey, or a young camel. As loud as you can. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Camel.
Ooh. Brian, I'm going to dock points from your team for shouting the wrong answer very loud in my ear. I heard a young donkey, yes? Yes, it was a young donkey. Of course it was. John 12, it says, Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's cult. This seems to us like just a cute part of the story. But for the significance for those who were acclaiming him as the king, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, if somebody was going to come in a royal way as a king, they would ride a horse. They would ride something that was grand. They wouldn't come riding a donkey. And what it meant when somebody rode a donkey in those times was that they were coming in peace. And Jesus came to bring peace. He came to be our peace, your peace and my peace. And it's only in him that we can really find peace. Amen? Okay, middle section, are you ready? Same thing is going to happen again. We're going to ask you to shout out your answer to this question. Which of Jesus' disciples drew his sword and cut off the high priest's servant's ear? This happened at the Garden of Gethsemane as Jesus had prayed. And the answers are James, Philip, or Peter. Okay, on a count of three. Thank you, Peter. On a count of three. One, two, three.
Peter.
Correct, it was Peter. And it says this in John chapter 18, verse 10. Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? And what's happened here is Jesus has just been in the garden and he's been praying. And he hasn't been praying like we usually think of praying. He was praying in agony. He was in so much agony that there were drops of sweat turned into drops of blood because he was in that much emotional anguish and pain. And as he was there in the garden, he had to make a choice because the Father, he knew the Father's plan was that he was going to suffer and die upon a cross to take our sin and our shame away. But he knew the pain that was going to mean for him, not just in terms of physical, but the spiritual pain of the separation that he was going to experience at that point because of the weight of sin upon his shoulders. And so when Jesus said, shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? It's because in the garden he has prayed, Lord, Father, would you take this cup away from me? But then he said, yet not will my will, but yours be done. And so Jesus made a choice in that moment, and he thought of you, and he thought of me. And he knew that the price that he was going to pay upon that cross meant that you and I were going to be set free from our sins, and we would be able to be with him for eternity, and he did that for you. So we thank Jesus, don't we, this morning, for being willing to pay that price. And Peter was just like, He was very passionate, and he just thought, well, I've got my sword, and they're coming to take Jesus away. I'm going to attack them. But Jesus knew what it was that he had to go through. Right then, here's the next question. So we're coming over this side. Are you all ready to shout out your answers?
Yeah.
Okay, right. What was the second name of the well-known criminal the crowd chose to be released rather than Jesus? So what happened was there was Pontius Pilate gave the crowd an opportunity. It was customary for them to be able to release one of the prisoners. And they were given the option and they could have released Jesus of Nazareth. But there was another Jesus and he had a different second name. Was his second name B.A. Barakas? Was it Brachius? Or was it Barabbas? Okay, and on a count of three, I want you to shout your answer out nice and loud. One, two, three. Barabbas, correct. Give yourselves a cheer. Well done. Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed over to be crucified. Jesus was crucified for you. He was crucified for me. And as part of the process of being crucified, they placed a crown of thorns upon his head. And this man who had a few days earlier been welcomed into Jerusalem with great shouts of Hosanna and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and been acclaimed and welcomed and celebrated. The miracle worker, the prophet, was coming into Jerusalem. A few days later, some of those same people stood in a crowd when there was Jesus Barabbas and there was Jesus of Nazareth, and they were given an option, who do you want to set free? And they shouted about Jesus, crucify him. Crucify him. Barabbas, the well-known criminal, the thief, the murderer. No, set him free. Crucify Jesus. And it's not fair, and it's not just, but it is the price that he was willing to pay for you and for me. Okay, where are we now? Are we back over this side? Okay, starting to get a little bit trickier now, okay? Starting to get a little bit more of a challenge. And the way of answering this one is going to be hands up, okay? So everyone in your team is going to put a hand up for an answer, and whichever answer gets the most hands up. Yeah? Does that make sense? Yeah, okay. So the question is, Pilate's wife told Pilate to leave Jesus alone after what had happened. She had a dream, she received a letter, or she had spoken with Jesus. It's one of those three things. So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to read each of those out, and if the one that you think it is, put your hand up for that on this side, okay? So first of all, hand up if you think she had a dream. Okay, hands down. Hands up if you think she received a letter. Hands up if you think she spoke with Jesus. Well, you're all right, of course. But I could see some people were really nervous there just for a second. They weren't sure. When Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. And yet still, Pilate, in his lack of wisdom, he put the power in the hands of people to try and keep them happy. Okay, middle section. Are you ready? Yeah. It's going to be a hands-up situation again. It's mathematics this time. Well, it's more general knowledge of mathematics. But anyway, how many pieces of silver did Judas Iscariot receive in order to betray Jesus? Was it 10, was it 20, or was it 30? Okay, so we're going to go through those. Hands up if you think it was 10 pieces of silver. Hands up if you think it was 20 pieces of silver. Oh, we are all too... Hands. Hands up if you think it was 30 pieces of silver. Well done, it was 30 pieces of silver. Give yourselves a cheer. Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you? So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. We're familiar with this story, most of us, and even people in culture call somebody, when they see betrayal, they'll call them Judas, because this was the ultimate sense of being let down by somebody who you were close to. Judas had walked around as one of Jesus' disciples, had been close to him, had walked with him, had acknowledged him for who he was. And yet he saw an opportunity as he began to let doubt set in, and as the enemy impacted his mind, as the devil helped him to think wrongly, or caused him to think wrongly. And Jesus made a decision, which is to betray Jesus. And all of us will suffer some kind of betrayal in our lives. But Jesus suffered betrayal so that we couldn't point the finger and say, well, you don't know what it's like, Jesus. Jesus knew what it was like to be betrayed by those closest to him. And thankfully, because of God's faithfulness, even when the world lets us down, even when those closest to us fail us, God will not fail us. Amen? Okay, that was your section, wasn't it? That was the middle section. Okay, I hope I've got the right amount of questions sorted out. That's all good. It's all good. Right. These are getting trickier now, okay? You've had a bit of a rough deal, I think, with some of your questions over this side. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, was inscribed on the cross in which three languages? Greek, Aramaic, and Latin, Hebrew, Greek, and Arabic, or Greek, Aramaic, and Egyptian. So, if you think it is the first option, Greek, Aramaic, and Latin, please raise your hand. If you think it was Hebrew, Greek, and Arabic, please raise your hand. If you think it was Greek, Aramaic, and Egyptian, please raise your hand. Ooh. Ooh. So, we've got an even split between the second two, but it doesn't matter because it was the first one. That's a tough question. But if you really think about it, they were in a Roman province. So that's why Latin was one of the languages that was written in. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. Aramaic is a kind of the people's language of Hebrew. So that's... Would have been the language that people spoke. Latin would have been the language of the Roman province, and Greek would have been a language of learning, generally in culture and a spoken language in the wider area. So, Jesus, King of the Jews, and now Jesus has been risen to be with the Father, and we proclaim him as the King of Kings. Amen. Right then, back over. I think this is the penultimate question for each. I'm going to have to go a little bit quicker. Here we go. Right, over here. Around the time Jesus died, there was darkness in the land for how long? The Bible tells us there was darkness in the land. Was it for 3 hours, one day, or 3 days? And the way that we're going to answer this is... Actually, I think this hands thing works now. Oh, yeah, stand up. Same thing, but you stand up. Yeah, you've been sat down for too long. Well said, whoever it was over here. I like that idea. Bit of exercise. Okay, if you think it was 3 hours, stand up. Okay, take your seats. If you think it was one day, stand up. If you think it was 3 days, stand up. Oh, sit down. And the cowards all sat down for the whole time. But the majority got it right. It was 3 hours. From noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? In that moment of pain, Jesus felt a sense of separation from his Father, who he was united with, because he'd taken on himself the sin that you and I have, the sins that we've committed. He took the punishment for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Which of these Bible statements is not recorded as something Jesus said whilst he was on the cross? Okay, middle section. It is finished. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Or woman, behold your son. Okay, it's all right. These are trickier. You don't need to be embarrassed about getting these wrong. Stand up if you think the one that he didn't say from the cross was, it is finished. Stand up if you think the one he didn't say was, I am the good shepherd. Oh. Take your seats. Stand up if you think the one he didn't say was, woman, behold your son. Well done, middle section. It was, I am the good shepherd. Of course, Jesus did say that he's the good shepherd, and he did lay down his life for the sheep, but the other two were things that he said from the cross itself. Okay, ready on this side? Oh, hang on. That was So Jesus said, "It is finished." And also he said, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciples, "Here is your and to the disciple, here is your mother." He was his own mother, Mary, and John. He was connecting them and making sure that they were looking after each other. And he makes sure that you and I look after each other today. Amen. Right. What were the names of the two men who prepared the body of Jesus for burial? Okay. Again, you've got a rough deal this side. Was it Nicholas and James? Was it Nicodemus and Joseph? Or was it Nicodemus and James? If you think it was Nicholas and James, please stand. Good guess. If you think it was Nicodemus and Joseph, please stand. Okay. Yeah, please take your seats. If you think it was Nicodemus and James, please stand. It's close. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. And now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus bought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. What's interesting is that these two were both people who were sort of secret followers of Jesus, and yet it was them who were brave enough to take the body of Jesus and prepare it and to look after the body of Jesus. Whilst the disciples had run away, even Simon Peter, who had said, "I'll die for you, I'll never deny you," he had denied Jesus, and they'd run away. And they were in fear, and they didn't know what to do. But these two, who were kind of hidden, secret believers in Jesus, they were the ones that took his body. Isn't that a precious part of the story? Okay. I'm going to go in reverse order, just in case the questions are harder towards the end. So this, we're going to start with this side now. Okay, you ready for that, to answer your final question? Jesus was raised to life on the first day of the week, we are told. Which day does that mean? Does it mean Saturday? Does it mean Sunday? Or does it mean Monday? And what I'm going to do is, I think we'll do the shout-out option. So everybody shout out your answers so that nobody's embarrassed about getting it wrong, okay? So on a count of three, shout out your answer. Was it Saturday, Sunday, or Monday? One, two, three.
Sunday!
It was Sunday! Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Hallelujah. Okay. Just deciding whether to go. I'm going to go over here with the next question. Who was the first person to see the risen Jesus? Was it Mary of Arimathea? Was it Mary of Bethany? Or was it Mary Magdalene? Okay. On a count of three, shout out your answer. One, two, three. Oh, that was definitely a mixture. It was Mary Magdalene. And she goes to the tomb. She cries. She says, "Why have you taken the body of my Lord away?" The person there says, "Why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni." Rabboni. Isn't it amazing that stood right before her was the risen Jesus? And she had known him so well. She had walked so closely with him. She had washed his feet. And yet, until he says her name, And I want everybody in this room to know this morning that Jesus speaks your name. He knows your name. And he wants to call out to you and draw you. And he wants you to respond and call him teacher and Lord and Savior and King. Okay, final question. Which of these quotes was not part of the great commission the resurrected Jesus gave to his disciples? So what's happened now is Jesus has appeared to his disciples. He has been spending time with them. He's shown Thomas the holes in his hands. He's revealed himself. And before he ascends back to heaven to be with the Father, he gives some final instructions to his followers. And amongst those instructions, two of these statements were made, and one of them wasn't. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Or I am with you always to the very end of the age. On a count of three, please, if you can just about make out the words, tell me which of those that you think it was. One, two, three. Pardon? Brilliant. Yeah, I think the majority of you got that right. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Of course, Jesus said that. He said that was the greatest command of all. But in the Great Commission, it says this. Let's read these words together if you can see them clearly enough. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Have you enjoyed the quiz? Yeah? Yeah, go on. Well, of course, that's all a little bit of fun. And we are shortly going to allow those who are under the age of 18 to have a chocolate treat. Why do we have eggs? Celebration of new life. The Easter eggs, not the cream eggs, but the Easter eggs, people have likened it to being like an empty tomb. There are other things around this time of year that we wouldn't understand to be part of the true meaning of resurrection. And so we would probably avoid some of the terminology. I prefer definitely saying Pascapis to Happy Easter. Easter is kind of named after a God that's not God. And so I would say Happy Resurrection Sunday. Pascapis, Pasch. The word Pasch comes from the same place as Passover. But the point of all of this is to ask you a question. The real quiz is, what does this mean for you? That's the real quiz. That's the real question. This whole story, the story of Christ being one of us, Christ allowing himself to suffer and die in our place, to take our punishment on his shoulders at the cross. Christ rising again from the dead, appearing to his disciples. Christ giving us the instruction and then ascending to be with the Father and being enthroned as Lord of all. The question is, the real quiz is, what does this mean for you? What does this mean for me? And is the reality of this true in our lives? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you from the very depths of our hearts and souls today for all that this week means to us, for the perfect life that you lived, for being tempted in every kind of way, for being one of us, but for overcoming that temptation and living a perfect life. Lord Jesus, for paying the price for our sin upon the cross, taking the punishment that we deserved. Lord, for rising again from the dead so that we could live in resurrection power, so that the same Spirit that raised you from the dead could be alive in us today. Lord, for ascending to heaven and interceding on our behalf, for revealing yourself to us who have known you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, for anybody who doesn't know you in that way today, I pray that this would not just be another Resurrection Sunday for them. This would not just be another Pasch. Lord, let this be the day when they answer that question, what does this mean for you? And they surrender to your Lordship and accept you are the King. Amen.